Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson here with your host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And today, Dad, we're going to wind back the clock to last year's National Day of Prayer celebration in Washington, D.C., and talk about a topic that you are very passionate about, and that's praying for our country.
Well, Ryan, this is a time right now when I think America needs prayer as much as any other time in our history, other than the Civil War and World War II, which were very, very dark days for us. Our problems today are more moral and social than what took place in those previous occasions. But we do need prayer. And because of other programs that we wanted to get on the air, we have held this one until now to let our listeners hear what took place on that day. And so for the next 2 days, we're going to air three speakers and share the recordings of what they had to say that day. The first one is my friend Pat Boone. I've known him for many, many years, and he is a godly man. And what he had to say, I think, was very significant on that day. Why don't you provide his credentials? I think everybody knows him.
I'm sure everybody is aware of who Pat Boone is. International music and film star. He's sold over 45 million albums. He's had 38 top 40 hits. He's a great Christian man, and he continues to entertain and perform and to tell others about the Lord. He's a member of the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. He's written a number of books, including The Culture-Wise Family, Upholding Christian Values in a Mass Media World.
He was our guest here on Family Talk.
One of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, that
I could listen to him tell stories for weeks.
Well, we had a lot to share together because we both were young during the beginning of World War II, and we have a lot of memories about that. But Pat Boone came to the microphone. I introduced him, as I recall, and he began by talking about Vonette Bright, a great lady. She is the widow of Dr. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. And so he's going to be talking about a wonderful lady as he begins, and that's who he was referring to.
Well, let's get to it. Here now is Pat Boone on this Family Talk broadcast.
Thank you, Robert. What a wonderful lady. What a wonderful, wonderful woman. And all of us are so grateful for the leadership and dedication that she and Bill have offered this nation and before God all these years. And of course, Jim and Shirley and so many. I'm here, of course, in a way as representative of Hollywood, the entertainment community. Some have called it the new current Sodom and Gomorrah, with some justification because of the output and the glamorization of virtually every kind of perversion and depravity around the world. But I do have good news that there are more than 10 righteous in Hollywood. In fact, throughout Southern California, there are people coming to executive positions, and then actors and actresses, and every area of entertainment, there are people coming to positions of authority with new boldness. I feel like we've raised an altar here. This feels like an altar here in the Cannon Building. And I was asked to speak on America's legacy of prayer. And it is our history. It is our legacy. There is an America today because of prayer. It was prayer that gave us this country. America was God's idea, His answer to the fervent prayers of Christians who risked their lives, staked their eternal destinies in a quest for physical and spiritual freedom. It's our history, but teachers are afraid to even mention God in the classroom. And that is a terrible turn of the tide in our nation. They, the teachers that is, so many of them in our current courts, have bought into the insidious perversion of intent and the letter written in 1802 by President Thomas Jefferson to the Baptist Association in Danbury, Connecticut. He wrote to assure the Baptists there would be no state or official religion, that they and all citizens could worship God as they saw fit. He wrote, "I contemplate with solemn reverence that act of the whole American people which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state." Now, today, there are so many who have twisted the very meaning, the very obvious intent of Thomas Jefferson when he made that statement about a wall of separation, a one-dimensional wall. Any intelligent sixth grader now can tell you exactly what Jefferson meant, that government should completely keep its lawmaking hands off religion. What does no law mean? It means make no law. Period. Make no law. Michael Newdow, this atheist in San Francisco, who's determined to take under God those two words out of our pledge, was on Crossfire, and they asked me to come be on, and I confronted him on the national television. I had just written a song, and they played a little of it, called Under God, which went to 15 with a bullet in the Billboard Hot 100 single chart, much to his consternation. But it did show that American people resonate that since 1954, we all want to keep saying under God in our Pledge of Allegiance the way we have. Well, I asked Michael Newdow, what's the problem, Michael? Why do you want to take those two words out of our Pledge of Allegiance? And he said, because it's unconstitutional. I said, based on what? He said, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. I said, yeah, go on. Go on. What's the rest of that sentence? You don't want to say it? I'll say it for you. Nor restricting the free exercise thereof. That is the First Amendment. Our first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Jay, himself a significant contributor to the content of the document and an acknowledged expert on the law, proclaimed this: Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. This was the statement of the first Supreme Court justice who knew the Constitution pretty well. Why? He and the rest of our founders believed the Bible truth that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty for all, believers and non-believers. Within 2 years after the signing of the Constitution, July 4th became an annual celebration of our newly gained freedom, and it continues, at least in name, to this day. Friends, fellow Bible believers, the duty and privilege has fallen to us. The responsibility of not just selecting our rulers, but praying for them, as Paul dictates, that we may lead peaceable and godly lives. We need to remember that the King's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever He wishes. And we forget sometimes that in order to achieve His purposes for the people of Israel, God influenced the thoughts and actions of Pharaoh, of Nebuchadnezzar, of Cyrus, Darius the Mede. He exercised His power to chasten, to instruct, and eventually to reestablish the freedom of His people. He can, and I just prayed for my representative that God will open his heart and his understanding and that he will seek truth and righteousness. And it, I must confess, it hadn't occurred to me until today that I should be praying for this man with whose policies I disagree almost 100%, and I complain. It didn't occur to me until now. God can change his thinking. He can cause him to decide to rule righteously. He has proven that for our benefit, he will variously give us what we need or what we deserve. To escape what we deserve for our years of negligence and apathy toward the steady encroachment of evil in our midst, we need to pray repentance, as we're doing today, and renewed devotion to the God of liberty in order that he may give us what we need and not what we deserve. Heaven is listening for our decisions and our petitions. Before this altar, God, we cry out to you, the God of all creation, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There is one God. His name is Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah El Elyon. We cry out to the one God, and we ask you, Lord, to keep your hand on this nation, to turn the tide, to bring about your righteousness, to bring about your purpose for us, your blessing for these people. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done in America as it is in heaven.
You've been listening to Pat Boone on this Family Talk broadcast from his time at the 2013 National Day of Prayer, which was held this year on May the 2nd.
Ryan, I can assure you, I was sitting there, I was on the front row, and by the time Pat Boone finished with the names for God there at the end, everybody was on their feet.
Oh, I can tell.
Now, in the interest of time, we're going to introduce our second speaker from that National Day of Prayer event on May the 2nd. And he is Chaplain Barry Black. He is the 62nd chaplain of the United States Senate. He's spoken at the National Day of Prayer before, and he always stirs the crowd. And, of course, he is responsible for bringing the Senate to a point of prayer every morning or someone that he designates. So he has a very important role. He served in the U.S. Navy for more than 27 years before retiring as an admiral. And now, of course, he has this very significant responsibility in Washington, D.C. I love hearing him talk. Mm-hmm. He's got the voice that I wish I had.
Yeah,
and,
don't we all?
And he always speaks with such great passion about the Lord our God. And let's hear what he had to say now.
Sounds good.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know he is the spirit of the Lord. And I tell you, I'm going to have to start calling Pat Boone Pastor Pat. Hallelujah. Used by God in such a marvelous way. I want to talk about harnessing prayer power in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We find these words, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all people, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. In 2008, after the presidential election, a group of ministers met for a regularly scheduled meeting in Maryland. And because the election had just been completed, one of the clergy persons suggested that they pray for the new president. Well, partisan fever was high at that time, and the consensus of the group was that they would not pray for the new president. One of the ministers at that meeting wrote an article about it entitled, "When Silence is Not Golden." We desperately need prayer in America. Amen. Tennyson said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." James 5:17 declares, "Elijah was a human being like us, and yet through the power of his prayers, he shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. We would say in my neighborhood, that's a bad man, okay? Praise God. Yeah. There is power in prayer. Paul, in this pastoral epistle, writing to his protege, Timothy, said, harness prayer power. 1 Timothy, respect the universality of the gospel. Pray for all people. How many of you prayer warriors ever prayed for Saddam Hussein? How many of you prayer warriors ever prayed for Osama bin Laden? Pray for all people, high and low, rich and poor. Pray for all people because our blessed Lord desires all men and women to be saved. Amen. Ezekiel 33:11 declares, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his or her way and live. Turn ye, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Pray for all people. But then Paul makes a second suggestion. He says, develop a varied approach to your praying. You see, we just pray. We open our mouths and we speak what we want to say. But Paul says, have supplication, have prayers, have intercession, and have thanksgiving. Supplication. The Greek word is deesis. It means coming to God with your needs. When we are involved in challenges in the legislative branch of government, and when are we not? I take it to the sovereign God of the universe. Proverbs 21:1, the heart of the king is in God's hand. Presidents borrow their heartbeats from the one I know, and I can go boldly before his throne and find deesis, help in the time of need. And then the Apostle Paul said, you also need some intercession. Let's stop praying only for ourselves. We need to learn to intercede for others. Our blessed Lord said to Simon, whom he knew was going to betray him, in Luke 22:32, "Simon, the devil wants to sift you like wheat. But I've got good news for you, Simon. I am praying for you. I am not praying that you do not fall. I can already tell you, man down before the cock crows twice. You will deny me 3 times. But I am praying that you will hold on to your faith, that your faith will not fail. Because without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God." Let's intercede for those who need our prayers and see God do, Ephesians 3:20, immeasurably, abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, according to his power working in and through us. We have not even begun to tap the dunamis, the dynamite of prayer. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And then Paul says, don't leave out Eucharistia. Don't leave out thanksgiving. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I get tired of coming to God with my complaints. I don't know about you, but I get tired of coming to God with my needs. I like to sometimes come to him and say, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, God, you have been better to me than I deserve. And if you never do another thing for me, you have already been better to me than I deserve. You brought me from the hood to the hill. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, you did. Praise his name. We ought to thank him every day. But finally, Paul said to Timothy, strive for peace and godliness, that we may lead a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Godliness is a national security issue. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is an equal opportunity destroyer. Sin does not care that your name is America. Sin will bring you down. Ancient Babylon, the glory of the Chaldees, excellence, went down one fateful night, never to rise again. When blasphemous Belshazzar drank wine with his courtiers and concubines, and a sleeveless hand appeared, writing on the walls, spelling out the doom of his morally corrupt regime. There is a God who is watching America. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. Hallelujah. Caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So let's not become so myopic that we fail to pray for our leaders. Our leaders need our prayers. And let's cry out with the hymn writer, I was weak and lonely, I had gone astray, walking in life's pathway, I could not find my way. But then a light came shining to lead me from despair. All my sins forgiven, now I am free from care. I've found the answer. I've learned to pray with faith to guide me. I've found the way. The sun is shining o'er me each day. I've found the answer. I've learned to pray.
A powerful message from two great men on this edition of Family Talk, Mr. Pat Boone earlier, and then U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry Black, speaking this past May at the 2013 National Day of Prayer Observance in Washington, D.C. And I hope we've encouraged you to continue to pray for God's guidance for our nation and for our leaders. And I'd like to know how you are praying for America. Drop by our Facebook page and tell us, and then stop by drjamesdobson.org to learn more about the National Day of Prayer and Pat Boone's work and charities. Also there, look for how you can get a copy of Chaplain Black's book, From the Hood to the Hill. Again, that's all at drjamesdobson.org. Finally, would you consider a financial gift to Family Talk? You can partner with us in our efforts to help families and shape our nation by donating at drjamesdobson.org via the Family Talk smartphone app, or you can call us directly at 877-732-6825. And be sure to join us again next time for the conclusion of God in America, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ryan Dobson, and all this month we're giving you the chance to pre-order Godless, the conclusion to the best-selling fiction trilogy by Dr. Dobson and Kurt Bruner. For a suggested donation of $25 or more, we'll send you this highly anticipated follow-up where God's image on earth is exchanged for the horrors of a godless world. For a suggested donation of $75 or more, we'll send you the entire trilogy, including Fatherless, Childless, and Godless. So call Family Talk today at 877-732-6825 or visit our website at drjamesdobson.org.